And again, it is time for our visit with Fireman Kenny. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Rick. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's on the air, helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. And as always, I got my monthly shout-outs. My first shout-out is to Tiffany Voss. Tiffany is a nurse who is the chest pain coordinator for Frederick West Bend and Menominee Falls Hospitals. Tiffany was on WIBD on February 11th to talk about American Heart Month. To Steve George of Eagle Point Solar, Steve conducted firefighter solar power safety awareness training at the Eden Fire Department on February 12th to the members of the Area 6 chapter of the Wisconsin State Fire Inspectors Association, as well as some of the members of the Eden Fire Department. Want to thank the Eden Fire Department for hosting that one, actually, because that one was supposed to be at Campbellsport. There was a scheduling conflict. So thank you to the Eden Fire Department for being able to take the host of that meeting. And my last one to Ed Camo, Stephen Harudish, and the rest of the team from the Vision 2020 project for conducting CRR Symposium 6 in Murfreesboro, Tennessee last month. As I've talked about before, CRR stands for Community Risk Reduction, which is a data-driven process to identify and prioritize local risks, followed by the integrated and strategic investment of resources such as emergency response and prevention to reduce their occurrence and impact. There are about 300 attendees from fire departments and ambulance services around the country who presented on their community risk reduction efforts. And thank you to my boss, Tom Flam, from my other job, the IFF Foundation, where I'm the 5th District Burn Coordinator, for funding the registration, fees, flight, and hotel. So I got to go on duty, but save the taxpayers a little money by combining both jobs. So I went as part of my job here as the fire prevention coordinator for the West Bend Fire Department and also doing risk reduction for the IFF Foundation.
Ah, okay.
Moving on to monthly sprinkler saves, also known as fires you've never heard about, because there's no news in something that was stopped from happening. And as I've pointed out, I'm an advocate of fire sprinkler systems and a dues-paying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association, www.nfsa.org. Be sure to follow the National Fire Sprinkler Association on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Visit SprinklerSaves.com to see the latest information on activated sprinklers that suppressed or controlled fires. And for our listeners who are fire department members, please remember to go to SprinklerSaves.com and report any sprinkler saves you have in your fire response area. And as luck would have it, or unlucky, because there were fires at these buildings, we have three again from Wisconsin this month. From Green Bay on February 7th, the Green Bay Metro Fire Department says 38 residents of an assisted living facility were evacuated during a fire Friday evening. The Brown County Sheriff's Department said there was a fire in a residence room at Bishop's Court on East St. Joseph Street in Alloway. Firefighters arrived to find heavy smoke in the hallways. The fire was in a closet in one of the apartments. Five people were medically evaluated at the scene. Three were taken to a hospital for smoke inhalation, including the resident of the apartment where the fire started. A Green Bay Fire Department battalion chief credited the sprinkler system in the facility for doing a great job. A report says the cause of the fire was accidental. The estimated cost of damage to the property is $20,000.
So there got to be really difficult when you get a situation like that in an assisted living facility, and you've got 38 people you've got to get out of there.
Right. And so a lot of times you don't have the resources right away to get everyone out. So we have like no person off situation. So nobody on vacation, nobody's sick. We have 12 people on duty. So a battalion chief, five people at station one and three people each at stations two and three. So now we get a fire. With any luck, all people are in the stations and then now we've got to not only suppress that fire, but try to get people out and wait for mutual aid and wait for callback people to come in for that fire. So it's going to take a while to get everybody out and everybody accounted for. So the more ready these assisted living facilities are to get these people evacuated, the easier it makes it on us. If those people aren't prepared, then it makes it a whole lot harder on our fire suppression efforts, as well as the efforts of evacuation. So it's a good thing that these things have sprinkler systems in them.
And I'm guessing that facilities like that, it's a mandatory thing.
For many of them, yes. For licensed facilities, it'll be required. There's other assisted living facilities that that it's not required for, but they're much smaller population. So you're talking about ones that only have like 2 to 5, maybe. So this one where you've got 38 people, definitely required to have sprinkler systems in them.
Okay.
From Janesville on February 12th, a major fire at a Janesville apartment building is avoided thanks to a working sprinkler system. The Janesville Fire Department says firefighters were dispatched to a multifamily residence on the 200 block of North Franklin Street just before 9:30 Wednesday night. Captain John McManus says a basket of clothing started on fire in a closet when the sprinklers kicked in and doused the flames. McManus said the fire could have caused a lot of destructions had the sprinklers not worked. He estimated the building had about $1,000 in water damage from the sprinkler system. About 10 to 12 people were displaced. The Red Cross helped the residents find overnight shelter. The fire remains under investigation.
How did your laundry basket spontaneously combust?
That is a good question. I'm going to wonder. I was kind of wondering about that myself. So I don't know. Maybe they had something that was too hot. Maybe the dryer was too hot, and they put it in the closet. That's why you got to fold your laundry right away and make sure it's cooled down. And
you know,
or mice playing with matches. You never know.
You never can tell.
Right. And our final one is from La Crosse on February 17th. A sprinkler system and fast-acting firefighters keep a fire in a downtown La Crosse condo unit from spreading further Monday morning. The La Crosse Fire Department was called to the Gateway Terrace Condominiums at 100 North 6th Street at 9:18 a.m. after a fire alarm was reported. Crews found smoke and fire in one of the units. Battalion Chief Jeff Schott said the sprinkler system in the condo was working properly and is believed to have kept the fire from spreading to other units. The condo itself had moderate smoke, fire, and water damage, according to Chief Schott. Other condos in the building were also damaged by the water from the sprinkler system. No one was injured in the incident. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. So again, another sprinkler system keeping people in their residence rather than being homeless, rather than needing insurance to come in and pay for a lot of damage. Sprinkler systems are effective in controlling these fires.
All right.
All right, moving on to smoke alarms. So just a reminder that the West Bend Fire Department partners with the American Red Cross for a smoke alarm installation program. If you live in the West Bend Fire Department Fire Protection Area, you can call 262-335-5055 to schedule an appointment to have smoke alarms installed in your homes. Otherwise, you can call your local fire department or visit getasmokealarm.org to have Red Cross volunteer install the alarms. So I've talked about before, Jackson, Newburgh, and Allenton fire departments all have smoke alarm install programs. I believe like Hartford and Keewaskum are working with the Red Cross to start that program in their departments. So if you need a smoke alarm, that again, that's getasmokealarm.org. If you're outside of the West Bend Fire Department area, and the Red Cross will contact someone to come and install them. Or again, my number in my office, 262-335-5055. We do a number of these a year. I think I counted up 65 last year of residences that I got into to install smoke alarms, plus a few more that the shift firefighters took care of. So again, we can come and install smoke alarms in your residence if you need smoke alarms. Just a reminder that daylight savings time starts Sunday, March 8th at 2 a.m. Remember to change the batteries in your smoke alarms and carbon monoxide detectors when you change your clocks.
You know, there was a meme on Facebook. I don't know if you posted it first, but I remember sharing it about checking the date on how old your smoke detector is, too.
Right. Smoke alarms don't last forever, so smoke alarms should be no more than 10 years old. Remember, that smoke alarm that's in your house is sensing the air every moment of every day for 10 years. The sensors are going to go bad. So if you have smoke alarms in your home, check them, check the dates. So that includes battery-operated ones, hardwired interconnected ones. Anything that's more than 10 years old should be replaced. And again, they're not that expensive. So in some instances, you can get them for free from me. Otherwise, you know, you can get them at Home Depot. You can get a six-pack for under $50. So you need to, and then on top of it, like let's say if you're going to do your hardwired interconnected smoke detectors, my recommendation is to replace it with another hardwired interconnected one that has a lithium ion battery backup that you has a 10-year lifespan that you will never have to worry about changing those batteries.
And again, the smoke detector should have on the bottom of it probably, or the top, depending on your which way you're looking, what the expiration or the expiration date, I guess.
Yeah, the manufacture date. So it'll have a manufacture date. So if you see a manufacture date that is more than 10 years old, it definitely needs to be replaced. If you have one that does not have a manufacture date, that's way older than 10 years. So you will definitely have to replace those.
You know what my suggestion is? Is that they put that manufacture date on the part you can see. So you don't have to pull the thing down out of the ceiling.
Right. Well, because they actually have them kind of on the side where you can put installed on, and that's meant for the date, but I have seen one where someone wrote installed on the ceiling, and that wasn't meant for what was supposed to happen. So, yeah, and that's actually a good idea. So if they, like, let's say have a nice little sticker that you can print up and what date you installed it on so it looks nice up there rather than writing it in marker. Right. I usually write the date I installed them on the back in marker, so that way when I go to change the batteries and I can see that. But again, that's something that you know you have in your house and people don't think about, and it's probably pretty important to have one. And we'll go on with the where you should have them, just because of a lot of times people there's outreach like this that I try to do, and I go to people's houses and they will tell me stuff like, I had no idea you had to change your batteries at least once a year. I had no idea that they only lasted 10 years. So I'm trying to do the best I can to get as much outreach so that everybody's aware of it. So again, this is why you want to follow the West Bend Fire Department Facebook page, the Wisconsin State Fire Inspectors Association Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter feeds. And I'm trying for Instagram. So I got the Wisconsin State Fire Inspectors Association on Instagram. I'm the only follower right now. That just started the other day. So make sure to like that one. So one of the things is install smoke alarms in every bedroom. They should also be outside each sleeping area and on every level of the home. Install alarms in the basement. So again, we want to talk about in the bedroom because the latest recommendation is to sleep with your door closed. The Close Before You Doze program by the Underwriters Laboratory Fire Safety Research Institute. But if you're sleeping with your bedroom door closed, if you have something that starts on fire in your bedroom, you're not going to know it. So you definitely need one in the bedroom. Large homes may need extra smoke alarms. So there was a smoke detector install that I just did 6 the other day because it was a larger home, 3 levels, and a bunch of bedrooms. So installed in 3 bedrooms and outside 3 of the bedrooms.
Okay.
It is best to use interconnected smoke alarms. When one smoke alarm sounds, they all sound. So right now I have a 2-story home. So when the electrician comes in to rewire my house this spring, I'm going to see if I can have him install hardwired interconnected smoke detectors because we're sleeping on the second floor. If something happens in the basement, may not hear that smoke alarm go off right away. So I'm definitely going to want interconnected smoke alarms in my home.
Sure.
Test all smoke alarms at least once a month. Press the test button to be sure the alarm is working. Current alarms on the market employ different types of technology, including multi-sensing, which would include smoke and carbon monoxide combined. Now, I personally don't recommend that just because smoke alarms are going to last 10 years, whereas the carbon monoxide alarms are only going to last 7. That's the current recommendations. So I would actually have a whole separate carbon monoxide alarm or multi-alarms, as well as carbon monoxide alarms that have a digital readout display in parts per million. So you know what is going on, not only at the time, but they'll also have a peak level button to determine if you have problems while you're not home. Today's smoke alarms will be more technologically advanced to respond to a multitude of fire conditions, yet mitigate false alarms. So you're not going to get a lot of cooking accidental setoffs when you're in your home. Smoke alarms should be on the ceiling or high on the wall. Keep smoke alarms away from the kitchen to reduce false alarms. They should be at least 10 feet from the stove. So, and if you're going to do that, like when we talked about the multi-technology, the photoelectric smoke detectors should be the ones that are in the kitchen. They're the ones that are going to detect a flame flicker rather than smoke. So you may want to consider having a photoelectric in your kitchen. People who are deaf or hard of hearing can use special alarms. These alarms have strobe lights and bed shakers. So I have not installed a bed shaker alarm yet. The Red Cross does have those available for the people who are hard of hearing. If you need one, you can contact the Red Cross, and then I will come and install it. And then, of course, replacing all smoke alarms when they're 10 years old. The National Fire Protection Association reports the following facts about smoke alarms. Roughly 3 out of 5 fire deaths happen in homes with no smoke alarms or no working smoke alarms. A closed door may slow the spread of smoke, heat, and fire. And actually, so the Underwriters Laboratory Fire Safety Research Institute, so the ULFSRI, research on fire service horizontal ventilation, which began in 2008, analyzed the effects of doors and windows on a fire spread. Bedrooms on the first and second floor of a home were tested during the scenario. Using thermal imaging cameras, researchers found that closed door rooms on both floors during the fire spread had average temperatures of less than 100 degrees Fahrenheit versus 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit in the open door rooms. You can see a remarkable difference that a person could be alive in a room with a closed door much longer, says Stephen Kerber, director of the ULFSRI. And actually, so the latest one I saw, so bedroom doors are about 20-minute rated doors. However, according to the ULFSRI research, that held back fires for 45 minutes to an hour. So the good thing to keep the doors closed in the event that you have a fire in your home. So be sure to follow these those fire safety tips for your smoke detectors in your home. Smoke detectors don't cost much, but the lives of your family members are priceless.
You know, and the again, just back to, you know, people get they set the thing off because they burn the roast and take the battery out and never put it back in.
Exactly. Or they take the smoke detector down and never put it back up. So you have either in Rick's situation, no battery in it. In my situation, in an appropriate location. So make sure that you know you have somebody come in to evaluate your home, where to put the smoke detectors, having the appropriate technology for the appropriate room, changing them out after 10 years. And again, my number in the office, 262-335-5055, and I can come and install smoke detectors in your home.
Just whose responsibility is it in a rental property?
So in the rental property, so it would be, by the state statute, it's actually the tenant's responsibility to maintain the smoke detector. So that would mean getting the battery in or whatever. If a tenant cannot make the smoke detector operable, then they need to notify their landlord in writing, and the landlord has 5 days to make sure that smoke detector is either operable or replaced. So we have to make sure, again, I talk to landlords all the time. I actually do a lot of intervention with a number of the maintenance people in the apartment buildings throughout the city. I'm actually thinking about coming out with maybe a newsletter just for these, just for those people, just because there's so many things that you go from one maintenance person to another maintenance person and they may not know. So I think that possibly a monthly newsletter to that would be a good idea. Let me know if you think that's a good idea, because I would love to be able to get out there and get the outreach and make sure every apartment building in the city has the same information.
I don't know that it would have to be monthly, but I mean, you could a fact sheet basically that you could just give every time you go and meet, you know, because there's obviously turnover in those jobs and so on and so forth as well. So it would be a good thing to just have something to hand out and go, yeah, here's what you need to know.
Right, because there's a lot of things to take care of in those buildings, because you have not only the fire alarm system, but in each unit, you've got hardwired interconnected detectors that may not be connected to the fire alarm system itself, the sprinkler system, the extinguishers, extension cords in the hallways, you name it. There's so many things that are not only the things that a maintenance person has to fix, but then all the things that I'm thinking about that they have to think about.
Right. Put a little sheet together for
you. Yeah, I think I'm going to start working on that.
There you go. In your spare time.
Yeah, in my spare time. In the 2.4 minutes a day I have extra that I'm not taking my dog to the dog park, so then I'll have to do that. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, so it's Brain Injury Awareness Month. So for more than three decades, the Brain Injury Association of America, the BIAA, has proudly led the nation in observing Brain Injury Awareness Month by conducting an engaging public awareness campaign in March of each year. So this is a three-year campaign. The theme for the 2018 to 2020 campaign is Change Your Mind. The hashtag Change Your Mind public awareness campaign provides a platform for educating the general public about the incidence of brain injury and the needs of people with brain injuries and their families. Individuals who join us to help raise awareness with the hashtag Change Your Mind campaign are essential to destigmatizing brain injury through outreach with the brain injury community, empowering those who have survived brain injury and their caregivers, and promoting the many types of support that are available to people living with brain injury. So here's some brain injury facts and statistics. Every 9 seconds, someone in the United States sustains a brain injury. An acquired brain injury, an ABI, is any injury to the brain that is not hereditary, congenital, degenerative, or induced by birth trauma. More than 3.5 million children and adults sustain an ABI each year, but the total incidence is unknown. Typical causes of an acquired brain injury include electric shock, infectious disease, lightning strike, near drowning, oxygen deprivation, also known as hypoxia or anoxia, stroke, seizure disorder, substance abuse or an overdose, toxic exposure, or a tumor. Traumatic brain injury, TBI, is a type of ABI. A traumatic brain injury is caused by trauma to the brain from an external force. The number of people who sustain TBIs and do not seek treatment is unknown. One of every 60 people in the U.S. lives with a TBI-related disability. The annual impact of TBI in the U.S. is significant, so at least 2.5 million people sustain a traumatic brain injury. 2.2 million are treated for TBI in emergency departments and trauma centers. 280,000 people are hospitalized. 50,000 people die. Every day, 137 people die in the United States because of a TBI-related injury. At least 53 million Americans live with a TBI-related disability. Here's the leading causes of traumatic brain injury. Falls, almost 50%, so 47.9%. Struck by something or thrown against something, 17.1%. Motor vehicle traffic, 13.2%. Assaults, 8.3%. And unknown other, 13.5%. So when someone sustains a brain injury, many people are affected. Survivors and their parents, spouses, siblings, extended families, and friends. Healthcare providers, insurance companies, attorneys, educators, government agencies, and employers of all types. So I did a little research and found that according to the Brain Trauma Foundation, the costs to society for care and lost productivity due to brain trauma are enormous and estimated at $76.5 billion annually.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of money that's being spent to help treat brain injuries, as well as all the lost productivity.
Sure.
People that are unable to go to work for whatever period of time. But for more information on brain injuries, you can visit www.biausa.org.
All right.
So then for the rest of March, we've got Brain Awareness Week, which is March 16th to the 22nd. National Inhalants and Poisons Awareness Week, March 15th to the 21st. National Physicians Week, March 25th to the 31st. So National Physicians Week, we're going to give shout-outs to Dr. Jesslyn, our medical director. So she's been our medical director for many years very helpful and very great at giving us what we need to do the best job out there at pre-hospital. For April, we've got National Alcohol Awareness Month, Distracted Driving Awareness Month, National Public Health Week, which is April 6th to the 12th, National Work Zone Awareness Week, which is April 8th to the 12th. So we'll be having a big social media campaign on that. So the people that work in our work zones really need you to slow down and move over. National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, which is April 12th to the 18th. So all of our public safety dispatchers, our 911 dispatchers out there, make sure to celebrate them that week. And National Infant Immunization Week, which is April 27th to May 4th.
I want to just mention again, and I talked about this the other day. I can't remember who the guy. Oh, I know. It was with George from Bob's Main Street Auto. This legislation in Madison has stalled that would toughen penalties for people who aren't paying attention to emergency vehicles on the road. So again, I encourage people to get in touch with your legislator, explain to them that this is kind of a good piece of legislation, and people should really slow down and not hit people.
Exactly. So people want to go home after their work shift, and so between police officers, firefighters, EMTs, paramedics, tow truck drivers, and the workers on the side of the road, be vigilant. Stay off your phone. Don't be texting and driving. Don't be looking down at your breakfast sandwich when you're going up the ramp. Make sure that you are paying attention to the road, slowing down, moving over, and keeping the road safe for all of us that have to be out there in the road.
Boy, and you see, all the time on social media, you see close calls and not so close calls where accidents actually happen. What would you call that? An actual accident, I suppose, as opposed to a close call.
Yeah, well, because, and there's lots of times, what happened a few years ago, that was 2 or 3 years ago up on 45. So we almost lost one of our firefighters because as he was getting out of the ambulance for a car accident, the lady coming up the ramp, looking down at her breakfast sandwich, wasn't paying attention to traffic, slammed into the car in front of her, sent other cars into other cars, missed firefighter Cam Mueller by only a few inches, and then that car ended up slamming into the witness's car, which had pulled out of the way and moved forward so the ambulance could park there. So, so you need to be vigilant, always paying attention to the road. Remember, you're going the length of a football field in only a few seconds when you're traveling at 70 miles an hour. So you really have to pay attention to what's going on the road. You're driving a 2,000 to 5,000-pound missile when you're driving down the road. So you really have to be aware of what's going on in front of you.
And here's my latest pet peeve. People are, I think, to some degree, are not texting while they're driving. But the second they pull up to a stoplight, they've got that phone out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't miss anything. So you can't miss the latest thing on my Life with My Rescued Foxhound Facebook page before, so you got to pull up to the stoplight and start looking at that one.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Community conversation this morning with Fireman Kenny. Thank you, sir.
Yep. Thanks for having me again, Rick.
And we will see you in April already. I guess.
Yeah, I'll be gone the first week of April because I've got peer reviews for federal grants, and then so I'll be back that second week. So we'll talk about that second week.